This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. We're about to dive into what should be the final chapter in a case that leaves you stunned and disturbed. A relationship on the brink, a night fueled by wine, and what was supposed to be a twisted game. Sarah Boone zipped her boyfriend, Jorge Torres Jr., inside a suitcase and left him there to die. But this wasn't just a tragic accident. Today, Sarah Boone stands convicted of second-degree murder, and the haunting details behind what she did that night are as unsettling as they are unforgettable. At the heart of this case lies a fundamental question. What compels someone to turn something playful, something as innocuous as a game of hide-and-seek, into a deadly act of cruelty? Was this a crime born out of years of resentment or the result of a dangerously toxic relationship? Let's dig into the facts. On the morning of February 24, 2020, police officers responded to Sarah Boone's 911 call in Winter Park, Florida. They found her boyfriend, Jorge Torres Jr., dead, his lifeless body crammed into a blue suitcase in their shared apartment. Sarah initially told investigators they had been drinking, doing puzzles, and playing a drunken game of hide-and-seek. She claimed Torres willingly climbed into the suitcase and she zipped it shut as part of the game, assuming he could get out on his own. Then, she said, she went to sleep. When officers asked Boone why Torres hadn't freed himself, her story began to unravel. She admitted that he begged to be released, but she had gone upstairs to sleep, thinking he would eventually escape. That was the first crack in her account, and soon, far more disturbing details would come to light. The real bombshell came when investigators discovered videos on Boone's phone. In those videos, Jorge Torres Jr. is heard frantically pleading for his life from inside the suitcase, gasping, "I can't breathe." Boone, on the other side of the camera, laughed as she taunted him. She mocked his struggles, saying, "That's what you get for cheating on me, and that's on you." At one point, Torres managed to stick a hand out of the suitcase, only for Boone to hit it with a baseball bat until he withdrew it. These videos provided prosecutors with the damning evidence they needed to prove that what happened that night was no accident. It was murder. Boone's defense team tried to counter the devastating evidence by claiming she acted out of fear. They argued Boone suffered from battered spouse syndrome, insisting that her decision to leave Torres in the suitcase was a defensive reaction rooted in past abuse. During her testimony, Boone described how her relationship with Torres had been volatile, filled with arguments and physical altercations. She claimed Torres's tone changed while inside the suitcase, triggering her fears of being harmed once again. But there was a critical flaw in Boone's defense. None of these claims were made during her initial interview with police. In fact, prosecutors pointed out that Boone never mentioned feeling threatened or referenced any abuse when detectives first questioned her. To the jury, the videos presented a clear picture. Boone saw an opportunity for revenge, and she took it. During the trial, Boone's behavior only added to the intrigue surrounding the case. Over the course of 4 years, she changed lawyers 9 times, delaying the trial repeatedly. At one point, Boone even requested professional hair and makeup services for her courtroom appearances. Her unusual behavior frustrated judges and lawyers alike, further cementing the image of someone manipulative and unstable. The trial reached its emotional peak when the videos of Torres trapped in the suitcase were played for the jury. In the footage, his voice is hoarse and panicked, calling out Boone's name. His words were haunting, "I can't expletive breathe." Boone's cold response, captured on video, sent chills through the courtroom. "That's what you do to me when you choke me." Prosecutor Dave Cacciatore Jr. argued that Boone's decision to film Torres instead of helping him showed a deliberate intent to harm. "This wasn't about fear," Cacciatore told the jury during closing arguments. "This was about power, control, and revenge." As Boone's trial progressed, it became increasingly clear that the prosecution had built a solid case against her. They dismissed her claims of self-defense, emphasizing that Boone had ample time to let Torres out of the suitcase, but chose not to. Instead, she went upstairs, slept through the night, and only remembered the suitcase when she woke up the next morning. When asked if she did anything to help Torres get out of the suitcase, Boone admitted she did nothing. Her casual indifference became a cornerstone of the state's argument, proving she knew what she was doing and acted with malicious intent. Despite the defense's best efforts to frame Boone as a victim of domestic violence, the jury wasn't swayed. The damning evidence, especially the videos, painted a stark picture of Boone's true intentions that night. After just 90 minutes of deliberation, the jury returned with a unanimous verdict, guilty of second-degree murder. As the verdict was read aloud in court, Boone showed little emotion. Her attorney, James Owens, later told reporters that Boone was in shock. "She thought she had a valid defense," Owens said, "but the jury saw things differently." In the weeks leading up to her sentencing, Boone faces the reality that she could spend the rest of her life behind bars. Prosecutors had offered her a plea deal earlier in October 2024, 15 years in prison for manslaughter, but Boone rejected the deal, insisting she was innocent. Now, with a murder conviction, she faces a much harsher sentence, anywhere from 16 years to life in prison. Sarah Boone's sentencing is scheduled for December 2, 2024. Where the families of both Boone and Torres will have the opportunity to address the court. For many, the trial may have ended, but the emotional scars from this case will linger for years to come. In the end, this case leaves us with more questions than answers. What pushes someone to such cruelty? Was this the result of years of resentment building up in a toxic relationship, or was it an impulsive act taken too far? And perhaps the most chilling question of all, what was going through Sarah Boone's mind as she zipped up that suitcase and walked away? Let's take a step back from the harrowing details of Sarah Boone's trial and dive deeper into the dynamics that defined her relationship with Jorge Torres Jr. and how the events culminated in such a tragic outcome. This isn't just a story of a single night gone wrong. It's about the toxic elements that festered beneath the surface, a relationship that spiraled out of control, and psychological factors that played a significant role in shaping both Boone's actions and Torres's fate. Experts familiar with battered spouse syndrome, the psychological condition Boone's defense team invoked, describe it as a cycle of abuse that often leaves victims feeling trapped and powerless. Victims in these relationships may begin to perceive threats or danger even when it isn't immediately present due to the emotional scars inflicted by prior incidents of violence. Boone testified that past altercations with Torres fueled her fear that night, leading her to leave him zipped inside the suitcase to prevent further harm. But Boone's claims were contradicted by her initial statements to police. During her first interview with investigators, she made no mention of abuse or threats. Instead, the videos from that night showed Boone taunting Torres, not acting in fear. This discrepancy raised questions about whether Boone was truly acting out of a sense of self-preservation, or if she had used the suitcase as a means of exacting revenge. Psychologists often point to power dynamics in abusive relationships, where either partner can switch between victim and abuser depending on the circumstances. Boone's defense tried to argue that her behavior was reactive, a response to years of emotional and physical abuse. But prosecutors pushed back hard, emphasizing that the videos clearly showed Boone in control, choosing not only to leave Torres in the suitcase, but also to mock his suffering. The presence of coercive control tactics, where one partner maintains dominance through fear and manipulation, became a focal point of the trial. Boone's actions that night fit the profile of someone who wasn't just reacting out of fear, but exerting control over a partner she felt had wronged her. This blurred line between victim and perpetrator is what makes cases like these so complex, leaving legal teams and juries struggling to determine where self-defense ends and cruelty begins. Complicating matters further was the volatile nature of Boone and Torres' relationship. Both had prior arrests for domestic violence incidents, with police reports documenting heated arguments and physical altercations. These documented clashes made it difficult for the defense to argue that Boone was a passive victim. Instead, the relationship appeared to be mutually toxic, with each partner contributing to the cycle of abuse. Experts on toxic relationships often highlight how partners in such situations become entangled in a web of emotional dependency and resentment, These relationships can escalate quickly, with small disagreements triggering explosive confrontations. The night Torres climbed into the suitcase was no exception. What started as a seemingly lighthearted game took a dark turn once the couple's underlying tensions resurfaced. The behavior Boone exhibited in court also raised eyebrows. Her decision to change lawyers 9 times frustrated the legal process, delaying the trial for years. Some observers speculated that Boone's actions reflected a need for control over her situation, mirroring the controlling behavior she exhibited toward Torres. At one point, Boone even requested professional hair and makeup services for the trial, an unusual and highly publicized move that further alienated her from the court of public opinion. These behaviors may suggest that Boone struggled with deeper psychological issues, which could have influenced her actions the night Torres died. However, the defense team's attempt to introduce battered spouse syndrome as a key argument ultimately failed to resonate with the jury. Prosecutors effectively dismantled that narrative by emphasizing Boone's choice to film Torres's suffering, a deliberate and conscious act that showed malice, not fear. The jury's decision to convict Boone of second-degree murder highlights the challenge of determining intent in cases involving complex relationship dynamics. While first-degree murder requires premeditation, second-degree murder reflects an intentional killing that occurs in the heat of the moment. The evidence suggested that Boone acted with clear intent to harm Torres, but without the level of planning required for a first-degree conviction. Boone now faces the harsh reality of spending the rest of her life behind bars. Sentencing is set for December 2, 2024, where Torres's family will have the opportunity to address the court. For them, the trial's conclusion may bring some sense of closure, but no verdict can undo the loss of a loved one. Ultimately, this case raises uncomfortable questions about the consequences of unresolved trauma and toxic relationships. Could this tragedy have been prevented if Boone and Torres had sought help earlier? Or was their relationship always destined to end in disaster given the volatile emotions at play? In cases like these, there are no easy answers, only lingering doubts and the haunting reminder of what happens when anger, resentment, and fear take control. That's the latest. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.